Greetings. We are the Boss Prophets and the Generals, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly supernatural word of empowerment.
We decree by the power of God that what you are about to hear will begin to shift you into
your new season.
Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
You're going to learn. You are going to learn the importance of prayer. You're going to learn the benefits of prayer. You're going to learn what rewards it offers by being in the presence of God. This is so phenomenal, but yet so pivotal if you want anything in this life. If you want God to help you, bless you, if you want to reach a higher height in Him, if you want the glory of God, you need to learn how to make prayer a priority. Oh my God. So are you all excited for the word of God to come forth? Are you excited?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Man.
God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And God bless each and everyone that is under the sound of my voice. Thank you so very much. I want to encourage you to continue to set some time aside to worship God, to get in His presence. And in fact, that's partly what I am going to be speaking on today. Mm-hmm. But before I go forward, I want to just enter into His presence one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your people. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak what you have to say, to encourage them, to empower them, to challenge them to move forward in the things of God. And Lord, I pray even right now that you would take over, make their hearts of stone, of flesh, to receive your word, but not just be hearers of your word, but to be likewise doers as well. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So today the Lord wants me to just talk a little bit more about prayer. Our lifeline, our support. Many people who claim to be Christians or followers of Christ, if we were to do a survey, if we were to do some type of tally, honestly, you would be amazed at how many people fail at really having a lifestyle of prayer. And I mean a lifestyle of prayer, not just when you need something, not just when, you know, you really need God to meet your rent or meet a bill or save your loved one or help you get your child out of jail. I'm talking about a lifestyle, a communion, a fellowship, a relationship with God. So let's talk about prayer and how to put prayer first. I'm going to give you, like I always do, more strategies. I'm going to give you more resources so that you can have no excuse after I've taught you the word or preached the word. You can go back and apply it into your life as well. I don't take it lightly. I love speaking before the people. I love empowering God's people, and I love challenging God's people. I love pulling out. That's just part of my DNA makeup. I'm made in the image and the likeness of my Heavenly Father, and He showed me, because I said, Lord, why am I like this? He said, you're like me. He said, read 1 Thessalonians, and I read that, and the Lord showed me exactly in His word where He said He challenges the heart of the believer. He challenges Amen. You. He wants to know what's in your heart, because the heart is the core, and that's what I do. I love it. I would not change a thing about it. I love it when I talk to you. I push right past all of the excuses, all of the reasons why you couldn't, why you can't, why you fail, and I go right to the source, which is always you. And I always make it about you. I make it that's your choice. The decisions that we make in our thoughts, in our actions, in our behavior, we choose what our outcome will be because of what we sow into. If we sow into an apathetic lifestyle, if we sow into a lazy lifestyle, then you really shouldn't be shocked when nothing comes of your resort. In other words, when you are not praying, when you are not fasting, if you are not honoring the covenant and paying your tithes and offering, and you look around and you wonder why your life is stagnant, you have no one to blame but what you have chosen to do in your life. So whatever you sow into, that ye shall also reap. But if you're sowing
violently in prayer and worship, honoring the covenant, paying your tithes, your offerings, your seeds, your alms. If you are helping people, loving people, having grace upon people, having long-suffering people, and you wonder how you're so blessed, each and every day is a new blessing, a new favor, a new grace extended to you, a new mercy. You're just walking into businesses and stores, and you're just picked or selected for blessings. That's because of your sowing. It's not by chance. God designed this thing to be a matter of luck. Nothing happens because of luck or by chance. It's all supposed to be played out according to his divine will, which is reaping and sowing. That's the laws that he lives by. So everything we do, people of God, we have a choice. If you're tired, then you make sure you choose to go to bed. When it's getting to your breaking point, you say, you know what, tonight I plan to do this, but I'm going to bed. You chose to invest or sow into your body, your health, and allow yourself to go into a slumber to repair and rejuvenate yourself. You make a decision each and every day. God gives us 24 hours in a day. 24 hours. What do you do in those 24 hours? Partly, we're sleeping. So outside of those 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours that we're asleep, what do we do with this full hour that God has blessed us to live each and every day? Right. If we were to really keep a log and really keep a journal of everything we do, we will be able to see how much time we waste on foolishness. We will be able to see exactly what our time is spent and maybe how we can make our time more impactful or effective. And that's what I'm getting to even right now. How to, in all the hours of your day, how to do the most important activity that God requires of us to do. And this is what I'm talking about, prayer today. We need to put prayer first above all else. We need to put prayer first above all else. I want people to repeat after me. I'm going to put prayer first.
I am going to put prayer first
above all else.
Amen.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and go forward and talk about this controversial thing called prayer. A lot of people, you'd be surprised how they always say that they have a prayer life, how they have, you know, they, oh, my gosh. We talk to so many people who need prayer. We talk to so many people who actually say that they need a blessing and that they need all of these things done by, you know, a certain amount of time because they got to pay a bill or they got to go before the judge. And the first thing we talk about or ask them about is, how's your prayer life? And you'd be surprised, like 98% of everybody that we talk to hundreds of people in a month, we do. Hundreds of people, they say, oh, I'm always in prayer. I'm always, you know, talking to the Lord, and I always have a prayer life, and I always pray and fast. And then you look at, because the Bible says, you know, you'll know them by their fruit. You listen to the language that they speak. They speak doubt. They speak death. They speak despair. When we say, okay, well, teacher, if you've been in the presence of God, surely you can't have prayer without reading his word. It's just mm-hmm. one in the time. Even in prayer, he'll tell you to go to his word. So I'm mm-hmm. saying, okay, have you been meditating on this week to help and aid you in your prayer? What'd you say? I got to go. You know, it's amazing how they get tongue-tied, they start stuttering, they got to go. And I'm thinking, you know, something's not adding up, he said, because they're lying. A lot of people that say that they have a prayer life really do not have a prayer life. They have a complain life. I said,
my God, Jesus.
He said there's a difference, Crail, between a prayer life and a complaining life. He said a lot mm-hmm. of people think they got a prayer life, but all they do is come before me and complain, nag me and irritate me about all of the horrible things that are going forth in their life that they think should not be happening or should not be transpiring in their mm-hmm. life. And he said that's not a prayer life. He said they just come before me offering up these stench offerings into my nostrils. He said it's not a sacrifice of praise offering. It's not a offering of praise and an adoration, but it's an offering of stench and foulness and complaining. And he said that is not what I've created, and that is not what is going to give them a relationship with me. He said, we got to go back to the basics. He said, let's talk about prayer today.
So I said, okay, God, I love talking about prayer. Because if you have no prayer, you know, they used to say in the olden day in a church, they say, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. Your lifestyle will determine. It says it. That's why I tell people when I go out, the last thing I tell people is that I'm a pastor. I'll tell you my name is April. I'll tell you I moved here from Chicago. I'll tell you how many siblings I have. But the last thing I tell you is that I'm a pastor. Why? Why do I do that? It's strategic. Number one, well, it's for many reasons. Because number one, everyone doesn't receive a pastor. Sometimes you can't even imagine in your own self if you were talking to somebody and they were so good to talk to. They were great listeners. They related to what you were saying. And then as soon as you found out that you were speaking to a pastor, immediately you may start to clam up. You may start to actually say, oh, man, I'm talking to a man of God, a woman of God. And all of a sudden the conversation gets real dry and stale and just trails off to a dismissal. And also a lot of people, they haven't had a lot of good experiences with pastorship or anybody related to the body of Christ. So I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I don't want to make you feel like you have to kind of shelter what you say to me. I want you to be you. I want you to be real, and I want you to be open and honest. And sometimes saying that I'm a pastor will put a limit or a cap on that. So therefore, the last thing I do is say I'm a pastor. But one thing I will do is let you see the fruit of my life. I will pray.
Man, come on now.
I will speak the word over you. I will let you know that there's a true God, the one and only God, and you'll know it by what I speak, and you'll know it because the presence of God will come into that conversation. Because you can't be a person of much prayer, because much prayer equals much power. What is the power? It is the glory of God. How do you get the glory of God? Through much prayer, because it's a communion. It's a relationship. It rests upon you. His presence is encamped around you. In the book of Numbers, it talks about may his presence be encamped around you, encompassed around you. That is a glory carrier. What is a glory carrier? It's a fancy way of saying I have a real relationship with God the Father.
Amen.
A lot of people that say, I want to be a glory carrier. I want to be a carrier of his glory. It is so simple. I don't like to, if you know anything about me, I don't really like to complicate things. I like to make it as dumbed down as I can, layman's terms, because I think we've gotten too hyped up on ourselves by all the fancy ways we can talk and all of the fancy ways we can quote things and the fancy vocabulary that a lot of people are missing the very truth, the very root of what God is trying to get us to understand. So I like to go back to the basics. I don't care if I sound simple. I know I have a doctorate. I know that I'm an apostle. And I know people want me to sound all elaborate and all of this exegesis, hermeneutics, all that. Yeah. I don't care about all of that. I care that you understand what I'm saying so that when we hang up this phone, you can go and apply the word of God. Your life will be changed. You will be in
hallelujah.
You can feed
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
For yourself and say, oh,
yes,
I get it. That's what she was saying earlier today.
Amen. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. I speak the way I do. It isn't because I don't know how to speak more elaborate and more all and, you know, fancy and all. I don't care for that. You know why? Because I'm made in the image and likeness of God. And I look and I examine Jesus' ministry, and Jesus was as plain and simple as you can get. Sometimes I laugh. When I read the word of God and how the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to trip up Jesus. They came to trip him up in what he would say. They would ask him all of these riddled questions. And Jesus would reply back in just a sentence, in just a few words. And just in the few words that he spoke, it dumbfounded. The Bible even says it. Read your word. He said, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were dumbfounded. They were confused. They didn't have anything to say. Sometimes even the Bible would say, and they left him quietly, dumbfounded. They didn't even have a reply. They were just like, wow. They were just tongue-tied, and Jesus just said this so calm. He wasn't trying to throw out all of the hermeneutics and all of the wonderful phrases and theological terms and make him sound so astute like he's the professors of all the professors. No. He dumbfounded. He said even the small, the simple things would dumbfound the wise. And that's the way I go. That's my approach. That's my walk. Your walk might be different. We got people out there in the body of Christ that want to be flashy and prove to people that they got a doctorate because they sound like they have a doctorate. I don't care for all of that. I can follow it because I'm that smart, but I don't care for it. Talk to me like I don't understand. Because when you're speaking before people, you're speaking to the whole body. You got some people that can go there and understand all of that, and then you have some people that are just barely trying to get to know God on a one-on-one basis. But you got to talk to people like everybody can understand. And one thing people can understand is layman terms. So this is how I'm going to talk to you today. But this is why I don't tell people that I'm a pastor and I don't speak all grand about myself, because I want you to see my fruit. There's power when I speak. Not my power, but God's power. When I pray, when I decree, when I declare, there is power. A good example would be there's a lady that I met, and it was a God divine connection because someone referred her to me. And that it was for a certain amount of business I needed done, and I didn't know anyone that knew how to take care of this certain service that I needed, and she was referred to me. And I said, okay, God, I understand that this is someone new that is coming into my life. It must be a new season approaching in my life, because I can tell by how people exit and when the new people come in. And she's a wonderful vessel, but she's a troubled soul. And the Lord, I said, I'm not going to tell him a pastor. I'm just going to be normal. And we kind of talked off and on for a few months, getting some business, some transactions. And guess what? Just even last week, I was in her presence. And the young lady came to me. She said, I know you got to go. Matter of fact, I have another appointment that's coming in right after you. But before you leave, can you do something for me? See, I'm thinking she was hungry. My mind went to, oh, she must want me to get her some dinner. I don't mind. You know, we had grown that kind of close. And I said, I don't mind. She's probably hungry. So I'm thinking she needs me to run to the store. But the next thing that came out of her mouth was, can you pray for me? My jaw dropped. On the inside, I was all cool, and I said, sure, no problem. But on the inside, I said, my God, Lord, I thank you. Now, this lady did not understand fully who I was, but one thing she got out of all my conversations, she knew that I was a woman of God. And in this day and age, when people are very hesitant on how they trust people to pray over them and to lay hands and agree with them in the spirit, I felt that was the greatest compliment anyone can ever give
me. That's right.
More than I'm beautiful, more than my hair is pretty, more than I got a beautiful dress on, more than just my makeup is all nice. No, more than all of that, I want to be complimented, because without me opening up my mouth, without you even getting on a prayer line, without you even hearing me preach the word of God, without you doing any of those things, you sense that there was something different about my lifestyle. And you trust me, God's hand is upon my life. And that whatever hand is upon my life, God's power will flow through me to be able to affect the situation that you need me to pray for. Sometimes we need to, you can easily assess yourself. I teach on this strongly, how to assess yourself. This is a simple assessment. I'm giving you some wisdom right here. You can monitor your effectiveness by how many times people ask you to pray with them. A lot of us miss that. You can monitor how impactful and effective your ministry is in God by how many people are coming to you asking for prayer.
You better talk about it.
Come on now. Especially if they even know who you are in God. If you call yourself an elder, a minister, an evangelist, a prophet, a pastor, and nobody, they tell you about that issue, but then they walk away. They don't even ask you to pray for it. They use you as a venting pillow, but they don't even respect you enough to say, man of God, woman of God, I know I just shared all this stuff with me, but you hold the key to my answer. You hold the key to my problem. I need you to release a word. Agree with me in the spirit. I need you to help and intercept with me, for me. But if nobody
thank you,
nobody is coming to you asking you for prayer, it's time to check yourself. Because apparently there's an absence of God's glory that the world cannot identify you as being different or unique.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to understand, this is how it works. People in the world and in the body of Christ, they need the power of God. But if you are not a glory carrier, which I said is a fancy way of saying you have a real relationship with God, if they can't recognize by their interaction with you, by the way you speak, by the way you position yourself, you poise yourself, by how you and what you say, the quality of your words, but if your lifestyle is hellish before their eyesight, they're telling you everything that's wrong in their life, and what is your rebuttal? Oh, yeah, you know, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. You're right. Oh, this does. You know, this world is sick. If you are agreeing with them, not providing any hope, not providing an answer, which is God, so that you can serve God on a platter before those that are troubled, knowing that you consider Elohim before the people in the world or people that need him, you need to understand who God is. Knowing that he's Yahweh Rapha or he's Nisi or he's Shaddai and Elohim and all of it. If you know all of these manifestations that God comes in, you can serve him before the people and say, I have a person. You need a judge or you need a healer? You need a healer? Then the doctors gave up to you? Well, I know a Jehovah Rapha.
Hallelujah.
You need a provision? Oh, all the doors have closed. You lost your job, but you need some food. You need some clothes. You need some school supplies. Well, guess what? I know a Jehovah Jireh.
I need you, Jehovah Jireh.
But if you don't know who God is, how can you be a glory carrier? How can you have a relationship with God that is so strong that even when you're speaking before the troubled world, you can even offer him before the people? You are not even an ambassador for God. An ambassador is one that represents God and provides the instructions and the solutions of whatever you are representing. But you can't even provide a solution before the world because you yourself don't even know who God is.
Ooh, my God.
Jesus.
Amen.
That is deep. Some of you all got it. Some of you all missed it. Some of you all got to catch this thing.
We know this word has truly empowered you for this week.
And if you want to activate this word and manifest this word into your life, visit our website and sow into it. The website is www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .com, not .org, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. That is www.kci.world. As always, we are speaking life over you, and we are excited about your
now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name.
This has been your weekly supernatural word of empowerment from
the Generals.